A young girl weeps in a far distant land. She has no one to show her God's love. No mother or father to wipe away her tears. She cries out in the night alone. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll go to dry that young girl's tears. I'll serve you no matter where the path may lead. Lord, please bury my heart. A mother grieves for a starving child. She has no shelter from the cold. Earthly provisions will ease their suffering. Who will feed their empty souls? Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll give the gospel to these suffering ones. I'll go to go. Lord, please bury my heart. Will you ignore these lost souls in the night? Can you hear their bleeding cries? They're begging for someone to show them the way. We must go before another distant voices won't fade away. I'll do your will no matter the cost. Lord, please bury my heart. Lord, I give you my heart.
Thank you, Mrs. Lemon. That's great, isn't it? Thank God that God folks that are willing to use their talents and abilities for the Lord and to sing. And boy, can you imagine just what God would be willing to do with people who are just willing to serve, just willing to give their heart to Christ and let Him do with them? I'm telling you, folks, God wants to call somebody. He's already answered my prayer. But I think there's some whipped cream and a cherry ready to be put on top somewhere. I'm telling you, there's a couple in this church, married couple in this church, God has already told you what to do. It's time. Okay, it's time. It's time to go ahead and just relinquish everything to God and say, Lord, all right, we're going. We're going to do whatever. So are they here tonight, preacher? I don't know. I'm looking around to see if they are. You say, were they here Wednesday night? Oh, yeah, they were here Wednesday night. So were they here last night? Yeah, they were here last night. So they here tonight? I don't know. Might be. But God wants to call some people out. Folks, we live in a world that's dying and going to hell. Is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, is anybody going to care for people's souls? Brother Weaver is stuck in my mind about, you know, when he was here talking about Scotland and how it used to be literally the haven for the gospel. And look at it today. And folks, if we don't stand up and do something, I'm telling you, if the Lord tarries His coming, America is going to be Scotland in 50 years if God tarries His coming. it's going to be sad. Because let me tell you something, there's a lot of good old men of God that have given their lives and traveled from coast to coast, from north to south in this country, doing everything they could to plant churches and get the gospel to people. Folks, I don't know about you. I don't want to be the generation that drops the ball, do you? I don't want to drop the ball. You say, boy, it's tough out there, preacher. You ever seen them people lined up out there waiting to hit us? Yeah. But you know, it doesn't seem to bother some. Didn't bother the Mormons. Didn't bother the JWs. They don't seem to be concerned about it. So I don't know about you. I don't want to drop the ball. Well, it's been a wonderful, wonderful last 2 nights and days spending time with our missionaries. And then Wednesday night's message, last night's message by our special guest speaker, Brother Johnny Leslie. And I know God's laid something on his heart for us tonight. I want you to focus, all right? I want you to look right here, focus, listen, and I promise you, God's got something for you tonight. Brother Leslie, you come and preach to us what God's laid on your heart.
Man. Amen. Please take your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. We'll get there in just a moment. Do not stand yet. We'll have you do that in just a moment. That song, Bless My Soul, I began to think. I wanted to say something to the young people and those couples Brother Laster is talking about. There's no greater joy than to have your heart buried on a mission field. We went to Croatia 10 years ago. And I can't say my heart was buried there. I had a burden for Croatia, much as these missionaries are speaking about their burdens. I had a burning in my heart. I wanted to do what God wanted me to do. I had a zeal about it and had big dreams and big ideals and big plans, and still do, by the way. Those hadn't faded. But I can't say that my heart was necessarily buried on the mission field. You see, after 10 years, I could say that my heart is buried on the mission field. It didn't come with just the burden. It came with obeying God. But then when we got there, and we began to work with people, we began to minister to them, as our theme this year is ministering to the multitudes, and those people get in your heart, then your heart's buried on the mission field. And there has been no greater joy in my life than to work with the Croatian people and the Gypsy people. I couldn't help to think, but when Mrs. Lemon was singing that song, and the song describes our Gypsy people in Croatia. Many of those children that we work with are hungry for bread. They have no food. They have no clothes. They have no love. And it's amazing. You can go into a Gypsy village and just tell you a quick story, and then I'm going to get into Matthew chapter 24. But we had started a bus route in one of the Gypsy works and bringing them into our Croatian church, and had a little 9-passenger van. Actually, in the beginning, my wife took a 7-passenger Chrysler out to pick up a few kids we had. And she was doing this consistently every week, bringing them into Sunday school we had. And I ran another van out to another place. Well, the word got out to some of the kids that it was okay that others came to church. They didn't know that anybody could come to church. They thought it was just a few we picked up. And so my wife went out there one week, and she didn't know it, but the word had got out through the village that people could come to church. And she got out there, and the kids swarmed our little Chrysler van. And she had about 15 Gypsy kids in that little van, and there were more outside the van that couldn't go to church because there wasn't room for them. And she come to church, and Brother Sam and I was there, and she said, you're going to have to do something. You're going to take the other van. It was just chaos out there. And we sent her and Miss Tracy out there to pick them up. So me and Brother Sam took 2 vans out there the next week and thought we'd take care of this, and had 2 9-passenger vans. That's the law in Croatia. You can't have anything more than that. And we got out there, and Brother Sam and I, we turned the corner, and I'm leading, in our first van. And we looked down the road, and there were literally about 75 kids running down the road to get in our vans. And I didn't know what in the world we were going to do. We had 18 places. We had 75 kids that wanted to go to church. And, of course, Brother Sam thinks we can fit them all in there. I didn't think we could. So we're standing at the vans, and I'm trying to tell them in Croatian that, that we can't fit them all. It's against the law. And in the van I was driving, in the back, it had a place for luggage. You open the doors, and it's a big old area for luggage. Well, I'm talking to these Gypsy kids. They just swarmed around you. I thought the van was going to be turned over. There's so many of them. I'm there trying to talk, and I look behind me, and the back doors of that van are open. And gypsy kids are going in, you know, like little cockroaches everywhere, just going everywhere. And one mom was standing at the back of the van, and she was literally throwing her kids into the van. And I come back there, and I'm saying, ma'am, you can't do that. They can't ride back there. I've got to drive about 20, 30 minutes to church, and we're going to get a ticket. You can't do that. And all these kids are saying, can we come? Can we come? Boy, you talk about a broken heart. We had to pull away, and all those kids just standing there. Couldn't fit them. So we prayed about it, and by God's grace, you'll see it Sunday, but we were able to get a place out there and have open-air meetings. First meeting had over 100 people show up to hear us preach. Tell you something. See, my wife, and I wanted to say something about them. My family's involved in the ministry. My wife, my children get out there and work with those little gypsy kids, and they'll get in your heart. They get in your heart. So what I'm trying to say before I get in the message tonight, it's not a bad thing to be a missionary. There's no greater joy, folks. The thing you think you're running from, you ought to surrender. There's no greater joy than doing it. No greater joy. So that's for free. Boy, I feel that I'm going to go to the Dominican Republic now. And I saw that, and boy, I tell you. But you know, I got something else out of that video. I don't know if y'all saw it, but when Mrs. Jordan began to give her testimony, I thought, first I want to go to the Dominican, and then I thought, well, you know, I'd like to just be a soul winner. Somebody knocked her door. Did you hear that? Did y'all catch that? Somebody knocked her door. I'd like to be a soul winner. And then I heard her say something about she rode a bus to church. I started thinking, I'd like to be a bus captain. I'd like to work in the bus ministry. Amen. Boy, you know, there's a place for everybody, isn't there? We just need some folks to surrender tonight. Surrender to God. Matthew chapter number 24. Please stand with me. Matthew chapter number 24. Verse number 12. Jesus says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now I'm going to ask you to keep that verse in your mind, but I want you to turn over to Ezekiel chapter number 16. If you don't know where that's at, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, Ezekiel. So, you know, Ezekiel 16, verse 48. Ezekiel 16, verse 48, the Bible says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom, thy sister, hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good." Our Father, we need you tonight. God, if I ever had a message that I knew that God gave me, this is the one. I can remember, Father, when you burned this on my heart, I know this is from God. Father, help me to get out of the way tonight. Please speak through me. I yield myself to you, God. Holy Spirit of God, speak through me. I pray that your people would put the distractions out of their mind and listen to the words of God tonight. Father, please call someone to the bus ministry, to be a soul winner, to the mission field, and to be a preacher of the gospel. God, we need you. Do something tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I prayed about what to preach, and after you hear all the sermons, you're going to think I'm just doom and gloom and all that kind of stuff. That's what my aunt, she comes, hears me preaching. That's all she says. That's all I ever preach. But so I'm going to preach my Joel Osteen sermon Sunday night. So if you want to come and hear something positive, come back Sunday night. I'm going to try to get some of that whitening strips from my teeth so I can smile a lot and try to make you feel better about everything. So, but I'm not going to promise anything. But you come back and it might happen. So Sunday night. But tonight, it's a very serious topic, a very needy topic, and I hope we'll listen tonight. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, keep your place in Ezekiel. We're going to be looking at that in a moment. But Jesus said in Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That's something He said was going to happen. He said when iniquity is abounding in a nation, in a people, He said you can bet on it that love shall wax cold. Now you can't get around that, folks. Anytime you got iniquity abounding, you will have love that will wax cold. It's going to happen. You see, there is a plague in missions today. Now, as myself and these other missionaries, we travel from church to church, and not every church is like Trinity Baptist Church, and they could testify to that. I'm not going to give you a bunch of horror stories tonight, but not every church has a burden for missions like this church has. We go to different places, and you can see that the love of many is waxing cold today. Hey, the plague is keeping us from doing all that God wants us to do. Now, I don't think Trinity Baptist Church is immune from this plague. Now, I don't think we're like some of the churches we've been to, but I want you to know tonight, you need to listen. Because as Brother Lassiter said, we're not that far behind Scotland. It's just a matter of time. You see what happened? Iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. You see, this plague is keeping young people from surrendering their lives to go to the mission field. This is the reason that young people will not give their heart to God, will not surrender their lives, and do what God wants them to do. This is the plague of missions that is keeping people from giving all that they should to get these missionaries to the field. You know, I've come back this time, and we've tried to call a few new churches. This has been the hardest time to get into new churches than I've ever had before. There's just something going on. I don't know what it is. There's something going on. Folks, these missionaries, they need some churches to get behind them to get them to the field. They've got a burden. They've got a desire. They want to do something for God, but they need churches behind them. But the thing keeping that from happening is the plague of missions. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight about, is this plague of missions. I want you to know tonight that this plague is not something new. It's something that Christians have battled throughout history. Paul battled with it in his day. All throughout history we'll find this plague. Today God's people are gripped by this plague, and it is hurting the children of God today. There is a plague. And it's spreading very quickly. We simply, my friend, the plague I'm talking about today is a love problem among God's people. You know what the problem is tonight? If we were honest, we simply don't care. That's the problem. We look at those pictures and no tears rolling down our face when we think about those little children. They're going to die and go to the lake of fire. Why? Because we don't care. We don't care. A love problem. We simply don't care that there are people around the world that are dying and going to hell. We don't care there are people in Arlington, Texas dying and going to hell. We have a love problem today. And Jesus said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. He said it. Hey folks, don't get mad at me. That's what the Bible said. Why do we have a love problem? Very simple. Iniquity's abounding. Iniquity's abounding. We don't care that people don't have a godly heritage that we have. We don't care there are people without a Bible. We don't care that there are people that have never one time heard a gospel presentation. You know how many people I meet in Croatia that have never one time heard how to be saved? It's completely foreign. They never heard it. Brother Rich, our national preacher, was telling me one time that they had a big sporting event, a big soccer event, and some Christians in the stand, they held up a sign that said John 3:16. And the announcers were talking about it, and they said, well, it looks like they're trying to give a code to somebody. He had no idea what John 3:16 meant. No idea. There's people that had never one time heard a gospel presentation. I remember as a young Christian, I'd see many different presentations from missionaries, and I'd felt a strong burden and a call to go. I would literally say, God, if you want me to go there, I'll go. How many of us will do that tonight? We look at those slides and say, God, do you want me to go? Are we even asking God? Or we even say, God, is it a possibility you want me to go there? Most of us are thinking about something else. Thinking about tomorrow. Thinking about the sporting event, the hunting trip, the fishing trip. Instead of souls. Brother, tonight we're suffering from a love problem in America. And there's a reason for it. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And by the way, no one is immune to it. You let sin abound in your life, I guarantee you the first thing to go is your love for people. First thing to go is your love for people. Sin is keeping young people from surrendering their lives to God. Sin is keeping us from giving all that we can to missions. Hey, we have a plague today, and that the plague is destroying Christianity. It's destroying our Baptist heritage. It's destroying soul-winning churches. It's destroying churches that love missions. Why? Because iniquity is abounding. And it's all over our country. Hey, you just go down the road, you'll find iniquity's abounding in Arlington, Texas. I was in the hotel today trying to find a place to study a little bit. This morning got ran out of the conference room. 5 o'clock in the morning. And they run me out of there like anybody's going to use a conference room at 5 o'clock in the morning. Why? Had a Bible in front of me. Nobody wants to see a Bible in front of somebody else. I was there today, this afternoon, and there they had I was in the breakfast area place and studying a little bit, and boy, they had, the pool was over here to the right, and they had the cases of beer just kept coming through there. I mean, there was a ton of people. They all had beer and cases and things. They were going to have a party out there by the pool. Finally had to move because I couldn't concentrate and all that. But, hey, iniquity is abounding in our country. Hey, those folks wasn't thinking nothing about God. Everywhere you go in this country, you'll find iniquity abounding. I know we say this is a Christian nation. Folks, if it's Christian, I'd like to see what Christianity really looks like. Because, boy, everything I look doesn't look Christian to me. Hey, you turn on television, there ain't nothing Christian about that. Shows about homosexuals and so forth and different things. Hey, this is not a Christian nation. It was a Christian nation, but God's people need to wake up and God's people need to quit letting iniquity abound. Because when iniquity abounds, love goes. The love of many shall wax cold. So tonight, just real quick for our message, I want to look at some things from Ezekiel about the iniquity of Sodom. And I hope and pray that we can avoid their iniquity so that our love would flourish once again. You know, folks, anybody, a preacher, a missionary, could have this problem. You let a little sin in your life, you know what the first thing to go? Your love for people. You start living for yourself, you know what will go? Your love for people. You start thinking about yourself instead of others, you know what goes? Love for people. Iniquity. So let's look at, if you would, Ezekiel chapter number 16. Let's look at the first thing, verse 49. God said, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now, stop for a minute. I always thought the iniquity was sodomy. That's what I always thought. That's not what God said. Look what God says. He says, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now, look at it. First thing, pride. Pride. Very first thing, Sodom was full of pride. Hey, they had arrived. They didn't need anything. They didn't need God. Hey, they were full of themselves. Pride. You know where it starts? We think it starts with some gross sin. No, it doesn't. It starts in the heart. Pride. Pride. People get puffed up and think they're something they're not. People begin to think, hey, I'm God's gift to this creation, and you're not. God had a gift. His name was Jesus. Pride. Look, if you would, over in Proverbs chapter number 21. Hold your place there and turn over to Proverbs chapter number 21. 21, verse number 4. The Bible says in 21, verse 4 of Proverbs, an high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked, what does it say? Is sin. Is sin. Hey, God calls pride sin. Hey, folks, they thought they had arrived. They didn't need God. They began to think they were better than others. They didn't need what God had. Doing something for others would have been too much of a burden for them. They didn't need God. They were full of themselves. Pride sent them down the road of iniquity. Hey, it started with Sodom. It wasn't the sin of sodomy. It was the sin of pride. They began to think, I don't need this old King James Bible. I don't need the Word of God. I don't need what God's got to say. I don't need what the preacher's got to say. I don't need what the Sunday school teacher's telling me. I don't need what the principal of the school's telling me. I don't need what the youth pastor's telling me. I don't need God in my life. Pride. Pride. Folks, that's where it starts. The sin of pride will lead us to not have any love for anybody. Pride. When God's people walk in pride, they'll be no different than Sodom. And folks, I love this country. It's the greatest country in the world. Still sending out missionaries. Still can get on a street corner and preach the gospel. Praise God for that. Not very many people doing that. But you know it's still legal to do that? And get a street corner and preach the gospel. Hold up a gospel sign. Bless all Brother Laster out there holding a gospel sign up. Brother Sam sent it to me. It's still, you can do that in America. You can do that. It's a great country. Do you know what? Something sweeping across this land? Pride. Hey, we're better than the Filipinos. We're better than those folks down in Dominican Republic. Look at them, how they live. We're better than those old gypsies over in Croatia. We got running water in our house. Pride. Pride. Folks, we need to humble ourselves. Starts with a humbling. You know why we're not doing what we could for God? Pride. Pride. Hey, I know this might not be popular, but it's right because pride is destroying people tonight. It's destroying preachers, destroying missionaries, destroying God's people. Pride. Pride. God said about Sodom, He said, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. It was pride. Sodom's iniquity was pride, and I believe we're not much better. Pride is keeping us from giving. Pride is keeping young people from surrendering. Instead of them getting on their knees and saying, oh God, what do you want me to do? They're saying, I am not listening to what God says. I'm not listening to that old Bible. I got my own plans for my life. Pride. We need some humbling tonight. Humbling. Sodom was full of pride. Second thing, look at it if you would. Behold, this was the iniquity, verse 49, of thy sister Sodom. Pride. Now look at the next thing. Fullness of bread. Fullness, that's what God said, that was their iniquity. Pride, fullness of bread. I don't know about you, when I read this, God had already given me Matthew 24. I knew I was going to preach on that, and I was reading in my devotion time, and I saw this iniquity of Sodom thing, and I thought, man, that's America. Pride, fullness of bread. They don't need anything. They're full. Fullness of bread. Sodom was too full and needed nothing. They were not hungry for the things of God. They were not thirsty for righteousness. They didn't need God. Why? They were full. You know what we need in America? We need to get empty. You know what churches need? What God's people need? We need to get empty. Now we're so full of things that we don't need to be full of, and there's no room for God. No room for God. I don't know about you. I believe I know many of you. But I know for my own personal life, I want more of God. I want more of the will of God. I want more of the book. I want to know God and the power of His resurrection. I don't want to play Christianity. I don't want to be a fake. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to know God. I want Him to be real in my life. I want the Croatians, when they look at me, to know He's real. And he walks with God. And he loves God. And he loves the book. Fullness of bread. We get full. You know what? Many times we don't need God. People that are full don't need anything. Hey, I'm pretty full. I don't need any more food. You just not feed me the rest of this conference. I'll be okay. You know why? I'm full. And I don't need anything else. Boy, I saw the missionaries tonight. We got in there. And I felt bad because I know the ladies, you know, they had prepared. And God bless you and all that. Boy, I felt bad. I finally went and got some spaghetti because I felt guilty. I didn't want any spaghetti. I really did. I was full. I went and got some salad. I don't usually eat a lot of salad, but boy, it looked good tonight. Then I saw all those ladies over there, and I knew that they had worked and prepared, and I thought, boy, I got to eat some spaghetti. I just got to get some bread and spaghetti. But I was full. You know, if I came in here hungry, I'd have probably filled that plate up because I'd had some room for it. You know what God's people need to do? Get empty again. We're so full, we can't get God. Hey, I mean, we're so full. Young people, you're full of PlayStation, you're full of iPods, you're full of music, you're full of all kinds of things. And if you'd get empty tonight, you'd need God. See, that's what it is. Christians, you're so full of sports, you're so full of hunting, you're so full of activities, shopping, whatever it may be, TV, and you don't need God because you're full. What we need to do tonight in America? Get empty. We get empty tonight, we'd say, God, I need you. Fill me. People that are full don't need God. That's what God said. He said the iniquity of Sodom was pride, but he also said it was fullness of bread. That's what he said. I love an outline when it comes from the Bible. Can't go wrong with that. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine, a good friend of mine, and we was talking. He said, you need to find them all, make this, you know, all P's and stuff like that. I said, no, that's right from the Bible. I'm just going to take what it says. Now, he's a good friend of mine and love him, but, you know, I like the Bible, you know. It doesn't all have to make, you know, all P's, all B's. Just say what the Bible says. It's good enough for me. Fullness of bread. That's what God said. I got a hold of this. I thought, boy, God, I need to get empty. Sometimes I get full with things I don't need to be full of. I need to get empty. Fullness of bread. You know what we need tonight? Get hungry once again. Look, turn your Bible. Hold your place there and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Verse number 6. Matthew 5. Look what Jesus said. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why aren't we thirsting and hungry for righteousness anymore? Because we're already full. Fullness of bread. Don't need God. We're already full. Hey, I get to Croatia, and boy, after I've been working, sowing, and whatever, and boy, you know what we like to do? We like to eat. You know, because I'm empty, and I need something. And I'll eat a lot. Boy, I eat too much sometimes. That's my problem. But you know what? You never eat enough God and things of God. Hey, it's calorie-free. Don't have to worry about it. Eat all you want. God says, hey, it's a buffet, and you can just take it all. But you're going to have to get empty of the things of the world to have a place for God. See, that's how it is. Fullness of bread. He said pride and fullness of bread. Now look at this, folks. Verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread. Now look at it. An abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Idleness. Boy, that's a Bible word, isn't it? Idleness. Pride. Fullness of bread. Didn't need anything. And guess what? Idleness. Idleness. They had time for the flesh, but they had no time for God. They had time for the computers. They had time for the television. They had time for the hunting. They had time for the sports. They had time for everything but God. Idleness. Boy, doesn't that sound like America? I read that, boy, I thought, oh my soul. Idleness. You know, we got so many gadgets that'll do things for us. I've seen cars, you can push a button, the door's open. Nobody can open their own door anymore. You can push a button and it'll open. You go out, my sister's got a car, she's inside the house, you push the button and it cranks up. She can turn the heater on, she can turn the electric seats on to heat that up too. You know, we won't go there, but she does all that. And hey, I'm talking about, we've got gadgets that'll do anything for us. We live in the land of gadgets. Idleness. Idleness. We got all these gadgets, so we'll have more time to do what? Nothing. Something for us. Hey, I want that time so I can do something for me. That's idleness. God said, pride, abundance of bread, idleness. Many of God's people are no different today. I'll just read this to you. Ecclesiastes 10:18 says, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, and through idleness of the hands, the house droppeth through. You know, a lot of missionaries can get idle too. Hey, we need to be busy about the Father's business. Hey, you go to the field, you work. There's no substitute for work. You bus workers, work. No substitute. There is no shortcut. Everybody wants a shortcut because they're idle. There's no shortcut. You just work. Get out, knock doors, talk to people. Work! And it works. Get rid of the idleness. A lot of teenagers. They've got time for everything but God. We've got time for sports but not soul winning. We've got time for hunting but not prayer meetings. We've got time for television but not missions conferences. We've got time for Facebook but not God's book. We've got time for everything but God. You know, you'll make time for what you want to make time for. You will. Sodom's iniquity was abundance of idleness. That's what God said. Pride. Fullness of bread. Abundance of idleness. Now look at it. Let's go back to verse 49. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Fullness of bread. And abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Now look at this. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That's what God said. Hey, he didn't list sodomy here. He said pride, fullness of bread, idleness, and she didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That's what God said, folks. You know what that tells me? They were selfish. You know what Sodom cared about? Sodom. Hey, they cared about us four and no more. Sodom cared about Sodom. Sodom could care less. There was kids in the Dominican Republic that were going to die and go to hell. They didn't care about kids in Croatia, moms and dads in Croatia. They did not care about those in Canada. They did not care about those in Ireland, nor Scotland, nor Africa, nor the Philippines, nor anywhere else. All they cared about was Sodom. Selfishness. Pride. Fullness of bread. Idleness, and they didn't strengthen the hands of the poor and needy. God's people, too many times today, are no different. The plague of mission, folks. Jesus said, if iniquity shall abound, when iniquity shall abound, but because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Why is our hearts not affected like it used to be? And come on, be honest. We all know that we used to look at that stuff and boy, our hearts would just melt. You remember that? I can remember it. And I got to be honest with you, my own life, God got a hold of me with this thing. Because I can remember looking, I remember when I was down there at church in Mansfield and we were there and we had a missions conference just like we got here. And on the Saturday night of the international dinner, they showed a video called Open My Eyes, Dear Lord. It was put out by, I think, BIMI from OBC, maybe, that group. And at that time, it's about a missionary couple that went to Kathmandu. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. Some of you might have seen that. I never seen anything like that, but I showed them the pictures of this missionary couple that went to Kathmandu. And they had some little kids with them, and they had pictures of them on a scooter. I never forget it. Little bitty moped-looking thing, and about eight people or five people, whatever it was, on that little moped going down the road in Kathmandu. I thought, boy, that'd be kind of neat. You know, I was just a young man back then, and I remember looking at that and watching that video, and at the end of the story, if you've never seen it, what happened was they went in a plane ride, and the plane went down. They all died. And it was called, but it showed through the video their commitment to God and their love for God. And it showed clips of him preaching and her giving a testimony and the things they did for God. And boy, I tell you, when I saw it, my heart was broken for missions. How's our heart tonight, folks? I can't answer that for you. You're going to have to answer it. You're going to have to look deep in your heart and say, am I where I used to be? Do I watch this stuff and hear this stuff anymore? And does it affect me? Does it just go off me like water on a duck's back now? Or does my heart still move and burn on the inside? How's your love tonight? Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Might be some things we need to get rid of in our lives tonight, folks, so we can get that love back. There's a lot of soul winners I know throughout this church. It set your heart on fire when you heard that testimony. She got one to the Lord. Somebody knocked on her door. And that motivates you to want to go out and show up tomorrow morning and go soul winning with us? I mean, that motivates. I thought, boy, glory to God, maybe I'm going to win a missionary's wife tomorrow. Amen? How about you going out on your bus routes tomorrow? You think about that little kid you're bringing to church tomorrow? Maybe it's going to be the next missionary wife to somewhere. How about it tonight? And then Ezekiel 16:50 says, they were haughty and committed abomination before me. You know what led to the sin of sodomy? The sodomy? Pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness, didn't strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. That's what led them to the gross sin. But it didn't start with a gross sin. It started with pride. Started with fullness of bread. Hey, that's what's happened in America. They're doing things today that 50 years ago, they'd been run away. But now it's okay, isn't it? You know why? It started with pride. Fullness of bread. We got full. Didn't need God anymore. We had everything else. Got idle. Got all our little gadgets, our little PlayStations. Kids don't think about God. They're thinking about their video games right now. They're thinking about who they're going to talk to on Facebook and what they can post on there. So they're thinking about God. Fullness of bread. We didn't strengthen the hands of the poor. And you know, when missions goes, a church will usually close down. It'll get cold. I've been in churches with no missions program. They're just trying to start it or didn't have it. They closed it. One of the worst meetings I ever went to. Went to a church, and boy, you walked in the door, and it's just cold. You can't describe how cold it was. And didn't know what was wrong. You just knew something was wrong. The pastor walked over and looked at me and said, I'm sorry everybody's sad. And it was just a feeling in the church. And he said, this Sunday we closed our bus ministry down. And I thought, that's what it is. He said, the kids were coming in, tearing up the walls, and the people couldn't handle it anymore, so we had to close it down. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. When were walls more important than kids? And then God says, and they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Now look at it. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. I imagine that he might have looked down at Scotland one day, England, said, I'm going to take them away as I see good. Now, praise God, he's sending a brother back over there because God is merciful. Boy, isn't that good? I mean, God's not willing that any should perish. So he said, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to send a missionary back over there. Try to get a revival going again. But he said, no, I'm going to condone their sin. I'm going to take them away. I'm going to use somebody else. And boy, praise God, he used America, didn't he? Praise God. I mean, there's been more, boy, God's using America. But I don't think we're immune to it, folks. I don't think there's some little magical thing on us that says God's not going to touch America. I don't think so. I think if God did it to Israel, if God removed Sodom, if God did it to England, and God did it to Scotland and Wales, why can't he do it here? If we don't wake up. If we don't wake up. I want you to look in one more scripture. There is an answer. There is an answer. 2 Chronicles. Please look in 2 Chronicles. Chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles 7. There is an answer. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. God said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a remedy, folks. Hey, God doesn't want to remove His blessing from America. That's not His will. He wants us to humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn. You know what He'd do? He'd start calling young people out. Some young people start listening to Him. That college would be filled up with young people right here from this church if we'd humble ourselves. if moms and dads would get on their faces and say, and go home to the kids and say, you know, son, daughter, I'm sorry. I've done some things I shouldn't have done, and I've allowed some things in my home that I shouldn't allow, and I want you to forgive me, and we're going to get that right and pray together, and you get together as a family tonight and pray and say, we're going to do things God's way from now on. And apologize to your kid for letting it in your home. Tell him you're sorry, and then do right. Do right. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What are we going to do tonight? As I said before, I can't look in your heart. You can't look into my heart. But I know one thing. I want tears rolling down my face again when I look at these mission videos. I want to look at them and be able to say, oh God, bless that missionary. Go in there and help him. And help me to do everything I can to help him get there. We have to get the iniquity out, folks. Pride, fullness of bread, idleness, and not strengthen the hands of the poor and needy. How about it tonight? What are we going to do? Young people, you don't have to be like the rest of the young people. There's some of you in here, God wants to use your life. I've been looking for the last three nights. I've been looking down here, and I can see which ones are listening to me. There's some young people down here that are listening to me. There's some that are not, but there's some that are. You don't have to be like the ones around you. You can step up and be something different. You can say, I forget what that guy thinks. He thinks he's Joe Cool. You don't have to be like him. You can say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You can do that. You can stand up tonight and do something for God. Hey, don't worry about what they think. Just do something for God. Do it for God. There's some couple Brother Laster was talking about. You're worried. Your heart's burning right now, but you're worried. Surrender tonight. Surrender. It'll be the greatest decision and the most joy you've ever got. God will give you a people and a ministry. You say, well, I'm not able to do it. I'm not capable. Well, that's who God's looking for tonight. Somebody's not able nor capable. All He's looking for is someone to say, here am I. Send me, God. I'll do it. I'll go. I'll do it. You know, that's what Brother Ward did. Come over to Croatia, just... God, he took too many trips over to Croatia. That's what I tell him. He took too many mission trips to see our work. And one day he said, well, I'm going to stay. God can do it. God can do it. But what He's looking for tonight, someone would say, here am I. God, I don't have much, but I give you what I got. It's all He's looking for tonight. Nobody special. Nobody with talent. Just a willing vessel is all He's looking for. I was like many of you when God called me to preach. I'll be finished here in just a second. I told God, I said, God, I don't have any talent. I was scared to death to stand in front of people. I mean, I would stutter. It took me forever to get enough courage to ask my wife to go out. It really did. Now I'm not that way anymore. I still get nervous around people. I don't know why, just that way. It's just who I am. And boy, when God called me to preach, I thought, God, I can't even talk to people. How am I going to be a preacher? God said, I don't need somebody to talk. I just need a willing vessel. Someone just shut up and let me talk. I remember hearing, well, I know it's Friday night. Y'all got to go home. But I remember watching a little video by Sheffy. Anybody know who Sheffy is? An old-time circuit riding preacher? Everybody hear about him? And he's like that. He said, I can't talk. God was calling to preach. He said, I can't do it. He was stuttering and stammering. And this little lady there said, well, maybe you never had anything worth saying. And he got on fire for God. You know what my problem was as a boy? I never had anything worth saying. But I got this book right now. And I've got a Holy Spirit living in me. And he said, boy, I'll give you something to say that's worth saying. Now you can't shut me up. You know what you need tonight? Bow your heart and let God break it. Lay it on the altar tonight. Hey, I don't believe everybody in this room is called to go to the mission field. If you did, I'd probably lose my support from Trinity Baptist Church. So don't everybody go. I need the support. These brethren need somebody to send them. but there's somebody. And God's touching your heart. And by the way, you that are not called the mission field, there's a bus route that needs some help. There's a door that needs to be knocked. There's somebody, you're going to reach somebody who's going to go to the mission field. You know what amazes me? Mrs. Jordan, when she goes to the mission field with her husband, every soul that's one of the Lord, you know who's going to get some rewards for that? The person who knocked their door and that bus captain that brought her to church. That's pretty good business, isn't it? That's pretty good right there. I'd like to get on that program. How about you tonight? Let's give God our hearts. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. But Laster, if you'll come, musicians come. If you're that person tonight, and I know there's somebody here.